skin condoms. You know what it is, skin condoms, they're smooth. You know why they're called skin condoms? Because it's supposed to feel like skin on skin. It's supposed to feel good. The way the Lord, it feels as good as the Lord meant for it to feel, almost. Skin condoms. They come in a cool wrapper. Not no goofy blue stuff. Black and gold. And it's all good, man. This just feels good. And if you, yeah, it's awesome. They're comfortable. They soft. Sometimes I put one on just to sleep in, even if I'm not fucking. I just put one on just to make me sleepy. Use code RAMBLER from today's show to receive free shipping on all skin products at buycondoms.online. That's code RAMBLER. Skin condoms! Oh, Mac Wilden. Mac Wilden. Smooth clothes, comfortable underwear with no holes, socks, shirts, underwear, shirts, hot hoodies, sweatpants. Mac Wilden. Got all types of, this is clothes, man. You gotta get some clothes. If you got old clothes, get some new clothes. Comfortable stuff. If you don't like what they got, they'll refund it. You can keep it. It look good, feel good. Mac Wilden. That's a cool name, too. It could be a restaurant. Mac Wilden could probably, with that name, he do all types of things in life. Good for him. Mac Wilden. Go to MacWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code Hannibal. That's MacWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code Hannibal.
Welcome to episode of the Handsome Rambler Podcast. I'm Hannibal Burris. It's Tony Trim.
Hey.
We're here in Chicago, Maine. We're in my building, Maine. This is the first thing I've done in this building, man. We're here. Feels good. What do you think of the place, man?
It's nice. It's very... You've come a long way, my friend.
Thank you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Three apartments.
You're officially a homeowner.
A homeowner. Three separate furnished apartments. I don't even think I want to rent them out. I think I just want to... Is that weird? That would be fitting with my whimsy to just have three... Just instead of getting a house, just have three different apartments.
I mean, this would be considered like a big-ass crib if you took all three floors.
Yeah.
This is dope.
It feels good. It feels different. Yeah, as part of me, I'm still getting used to it. Where, you know, it's kind of new, so I'm thinking, should I be here? Should I be? And then I remember, oh, yeah, it's mine. Or even the other day, before I hit the road, before I headed to the airport, I was sleeping here, and I was starting to rush because I was thinking, oh, I gotta get out of here. I gotta check out. Oh, I got to get out of here before, and I'm just so used to being in a hotel or somebody else's shit, yeah. And I had to, and I got moving, but I didn't have to rush, I could have laid there, so it's all good, man. It's had an interesting week, lots of travel, lots of stuff going on.
Wait, did you take the 6 a.m. train this morning?
Absolutely not.
I was wondering. I'm like, this is very ambitious.
Absolutely not. No, I got a rental car. I rented the young Ford Fusion and hit the road. I listened to like just about a total. I listened to a handful of songs, but if it was a 2.5 hour drive,
yeah,
I listened to two songs for 2 hours of it.
Why?
Just because I really like those songs.
So you listen to those two songs on loop?
Just back and forth with those. Mostly it was
what?
It was off of the new Tribe album. It's the track called Enough. That's the one that I ran back when we were listening to it. Enough. Yeah. It's smooth. I listened to it over and over. I probably listened to it 30 times today.
What?
Yeah, man, I listen to music passionately.
That's crazy, man. Like, I have a hard time trying to listen to the same song back to back.
I listen to it over and over, man.
You're crazy.
I just like that song a lot. What's wrong with that? I do that all the time. And then it was that and Billy Williams' Story by Saba.
You're crazy, man.
And I just listen to those over and over. And then I bring in another track. I played a Flying Lotus track. What is the track? It was the Flying Lotus track I was playing. It's a weird one. It came up on, I hadn't heard it before. And it came up on Pandora. Let me see what my recently played joints was. But it was, Dance of the Pseudo Nymph.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah, that song. So I brought that in once.
Yeah.
And then went back to that.
It's off of Cosmogramma?
Yeah, Cosmogramma, Dance of the Pseudo Nymph. Yeah, that track is just, it's just, it's a weird, it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm. I love Flylo. He's like Jay Dilla on acid.
So I just listened to two songs mostly for the entire drive. And it felt good, man.
I'm glad I took that ride with my friends.
That's what you do. That's what I don't do that when somebody is riding with me. I don't listen to the same song.
You gotta be a little more considerate with your selections.
You gotta be somewhat of a host and entertainer. But sometimes I'll just listen to the same song about 40 times, man, and just get in the zone, dog.
You know what's funny? Actually, when I was driving back, because there were two friends, old friends from college, and they happened to come to the show, so I was like, Hannibal wants to put me on a 6 a.m. train, so I'm just going to head back with y'all. And I hopped in, and then they were listening to music for like the first half hour. They were both rappers, so they were playing their cuts, and I was like, check this out. And I played a Joey Perp song, and they were really into it. And then I played another one and another song. And then all of a sudden, I felt all this pressure, like, I got to do this for the next hour and a half, man.
Yeah, you got to bring the heat. Car DJing is serious, man.
Yeah.
I play totally different stuff.
Get put under pressure.
If I'm in a car with a group of people versus if I'm I'm still playing stuff that I would listen to, but I'm different. Of course, I'm not repeating songs, but I'm trying to appeal to everybody, play some different stuff, show my range. Mm-hmm. Car DJing isn't that, you can't just, it's serious, man.
Yeah, and you feel a lot of, like, man, this one, when we did the Bonnaroo, and we were going back in the shuttle, and the whole SNL cast was in there.
Yeah.
And then I took over the aux cord, and then I was like, why did I do this?
You gotta step it up.
I'm like, oh,
just,
man,
drunk in an Uber at night or something.
Yeah.
You gotta nail it, man. You wanna get everybody in good spirits as they go to the next place.
Because you could spoil the night by playing the wrong track.
You can mess it up. You can, if not spoil it, you can kind of just, you could definitely put it in a weird spot if you're not playing some good shit. Don't get in there playing some bullshit. I'll grab the aux cord and I'll put on a goddamn podcast about flipping houses. Just, hey, let me get the aux cord and then just put on WTF with Marc Maron.
Put on some Fresh Air with Terry Gross.
Get some Terry. Yeah, grab the aux cord. Throw on this Terry Gross real quick. Give me the aux cord so I could put on Freakonomics podcast. Oh, man. I'm glad I get to relax. The tour is pretty much done. Mostly. There's still some markets to hit.
Yeah.
We got to hit Austin, Texas. We got to hit Houston, Dallas. Hitting Phoenix the day before Thanksgiving, November 23rd. Taking me out in Phoenix. So got some other spots.
L.A.
Vegas, Milwaukee, Madison, Minneapolis, Miami, Atlanta. It's a handful of cities to still get to.
Didn't we just do Atlanta?
We did. We did the Laughing Skull in Atlanta.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was the small joint.
Yeah, we did a smaller joint. So yeah, it's still the bulk of the tour is done, and we got
That was a night we paused the show for the Cavs game.
We did. Oh yeah, it was game seven of the finals, and I was on stage, and it was in the fourth quarter, And so I just stopped the show. I wanted to see how I played. We stopped the show, and we somehow was able to get it on the TV. And I just commentated the last moments of the Cavs game because I didn't want to be. That's one thing. Yeah, I didn't want to miss it.
Yeah.
And so we kept it going, and that was a fun time. That was a fun time. But yeah, the tour's almost done. But before I headed out last week, was it Wednesday or Thursday? It was Wednesday night in here in Chicago. Styx, who's a drummer in Chance the Rapper's band, the drummer in the Social Experiment, he has a jam night at Tonic Room, great venue here in Chicago. He asked me to do a set at the jam night, and I agreed to do it. They had a great band. It was packed, and so it was a fun time. I walk up, everybody's freestyling outside. Chance was out there. Malcolm London, and I jump in. I buzz freestyle real quick, and watch some people perform with the band, and then I go in. I'm waiting for my turn to go on stage. I'm just assuming that they just wanted me to do a stand-up set.
Yeah.
I get on stage, and then it's like a five-piece band. Peter Cottontail was there, Styx, this other guy, Malik, and this drummer guy, I forget his name, Evan or something, maybe. So it's five musicians up there, and Malcolm was playing Keith. And so I'm expecting everybody to leave as soon as I get up there, and they're just going to leave, and I just do a set, and then the whole band just stayed up there. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're doing this now. And so I started doing the set, and then I would rap and just make up songs on the spot. And then I would go into a little stand-up, and then try to use something from my stand-up and then make a hook. I came up with a couple songs on the spot. I got hooks, man.
Let me hear one.
I got hooks. I don't ride in Ubers if they PT Cruisers. Get out of here, you's a loser. That's my hook. I came up with that. I don't ride a new. And then, yeah. And
hey,
then
the keep band, that going. I like
and
it.
And the band was rocking with me. I came up with some other hooks.
I like that.
Got a fresh cut. You know, it's something about my haircut being fresh. It was a fun time. Rocking out with a band, man. It was a fun set. I want them to give me, if you want a verse, if you want a hook, hit up the Handsome Rambler. Is it thehandsomerambler@gmail.com? If you want a hook for me, drop that bag off. Drop that bag off. And I got hooks. I got hooks for days. I got bars. I'll show you where to go like ways. I got hooks for days. Scuffed my J's. Just grabbed another J's. Fuck the KKK. Hey, I smoke a L. What's up with M and them? Yo.
Gotta do that. You gotta bring in that signature laugh with the raps rhymes.
But it was a fun time, man. It was a fun show. Now I wish I did a cover though. When you have a band there, you gotta, just bust out a cover. That was the easiest thing. I was just sitting there taking a tough road, trying to make up songs on the spot.
What did you cover?
I said, I wish I did a cover. I wish I did a cover. I wish I did like Kanye Strong or Flash of Lights or Do or Die or Crucial Conflict. Hey, I just wish I did something else because they were a great band and they could play whatever and follow you wherever you want to go. GLC performed.
Oh.
GLC.
I haven't heard about them in a minute.
GLC, the ism he did.
What does GLC stand for?
Good luck, Charlie.
For real?
Good look. Good love cooking. Great.
Good looking cooking.
Great laugh, champ. I don't know what GLC stands for.
Oh, okay.
It's just one of those things you just take what it is. It's just GLC.
GLC.
He did his verse from Spaceship. Did his verse from Drive Slow. Off of Late Registration. It was cool. Chance performed, did a couple songs.
Which songs did Chance do?
Chance did Same Drugs.
Okay.
And he did something else, and he did No Problem. There was only like 60 people there. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
It was a fun time. Then hit the road. Kansas City. Kansas City was a good time. Thanks to everybody that came. That was the day after Well, 2 days after the election, Trump won. I was wrong in my prediction. Donald Trump.
You were completely opposite.
I was opposite. I was off. If you listen to last week's episode, I said that I thought Trump would win the popular vote and Hillary would win the Electoral College. And it was flipped where Hillary won the popular vote and Trump won the Electoral College. But now the host of The Apprentice is the president. It's crazy. It's pretty crazy. I can feel the vibe. I wasn't in a great mood on Wednesday, the 10th, when I woke up. Was it Wednesday the 10th or the 9th? Whatever. It was the 9th. Yeah. I wasn't in a great mood. Yeah. It kind of wore out, but it just felt weird. I guess it was just because it was so, we were just joking about it so much. Like, what if Trump was president? That's not going to happen. Yeah. What if Trump was president? And then it happened. And now we got to kind of deal with it. And to people saying, he's not my president. He's not my. Well, he is your president.
He is your president.
It's just you don't. It's just like you can't. If your uncle's a drunk uncle and he's a weirdo, you can't. He's not my uncle. Yeah, your uncle. That motherfucker just get drunk all the time. He is the president. And you know, it's weird because you know the stuff he said, but I guess he connected to people. And he's just connected somehow, which is crazy because he's a billionaire that came from money and somehow connected with people that, yeah, I mean, I guess he has some.
How do you feel about, like, now there's like all these, you know, there's like these companies where their CEO or whatever, like, supported Trump or supports Trump or whatever, and then people are like, you should boycott these companies. How do you feel about that? Like, say you owned a bunch of like New Balances.
Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then what did I say? Came out saying that they're white people sneakers now or something like that. Like, would you just throw away all your New Balances now? Like, how would you deal with that situation?
It's really, I don't know, man. It's just, I mean, you don't know. It's a lot of things where you don't, I mean, if they openly say, but there's other things where people don't say it, but they did it. So am I supposed to, you can't enjoy shit if you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
If you really knew everything about everybody and what their political things were, what their ideas were, then you probably wouldn't be able to have shit. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't be able to enjoy anything.
But what's the cutoff then? Like,
I don't know what the cutoff, I mean, if.
If he was straight up like, I don't like black people, then.
I guess it's just, you know. Yeah. It's weird because people, you know, I don't know, man. Are you supposed to boycott somebody just because of their political views? And I get, the thing with the Trump thing is not that, I feel like a lot of the stuff he said was to get elected, which is fucked up.
Yeah.
Because he's dialing back on it a bit, but. You know,
it's becoming more and more obvious that it was just all a show.
But you see, but now his base, a lot. I mean, some of his base,
the alt-right movement,
and some of his base is very, you know, empowered, and just is a different, it's a different energy, man, and it's really fascinating.
Do you think people are being dramatic when they're like, I feel like. I'm not safe out here and this and that. You think people are being dramatic or you think that's like some Facebook, social media stuff getting out of hand? Or do you think that is actually a direct result of what's going on? Because I haven't felt like really, that
know,
yet.
You can't really deny it. You can't discount people's emotions, really.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If somebody says they don't feel safe, then they don't feel safe. It's unfortunate. I haven't looked much into this guy that he announced as his strategist. Yeah. What is his name? Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
Steve Bannon. He looks like Ron White from the blue collar comedy tour.
I mean, I guess his whole thing is that they say he's got ties with, I don't know if this is true or if the way it was spun, but he's got ties with the KKK or something like that.
Yeah. You know what's like, it's not a, it's not good if when Trump makes moves and then the leader of the KKK is like, good shit, man.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
that doesn't feel good. It's like, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Go to. I think that's what upsets people. Is it the dude from the KKK really fucks with Trump?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just rooting him. Oh, good shit. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Trump.
Yeah.
Do that shit.
Very intimidating.
I don't know, man. Donald Trump, he wrestled Vince McMahon. And he's president now. I don't know, man. That's not what this podcast is about.
Yeah.
We don't want, you know, it's funny though, when you see, now I'll see, you know, entertainers or athletes, they'll post something about, you know, not liking Trump. And then, you know, I'll see comments where people, their fans say, stick to comedy, stick to basketball. Politics isn't your thing.
Yeah.
Like, the fucking president isn't even a politician.
Yeah.
You can't say for somebody else to not talk about politics when the dude that has the highest office in politics has absolutely no history in politics. So that means anybody can talk about. Don't say, oh, I didn't come here to your page for political views. People can talk about what they want to talk about. And if you know, and it's up to you to, if you want to unfollow that person, but don't try to, I hate when people try to diminish entertainers on their own, you know, on their platform, on their, you know, Twitter or their Instagram, you following them, people can say what they want to say and don't say that they can't say that because they are a comedian or they are a singer or they are an athlete that they don't have a right to have an opinion. When the motherfucker Trump wrestled Vince McMahon in a hair versus hair match, he's not a politician. But So we'll see. It's fascinating stuff, man. But yeah, KC, it was a good time. Thanks to everybody that came through the show in Kansas City. And we went to Cincinnati. Cincinnati was live, man.
Cincinnati was live.
Cincinnati was
an unexpectedly really good crowd.
Like the crowd, the energy in Cincinnati Friday night was amazing. They gave me way more energy and laughs than I deserved with those jokes. It was a good vibe. It was good.
A lot of tweets saying, thank you so much for making this terrible week awesome.
That's what also has been happening too. Where, yeah, people are just more, I don't know, appreciative, I guess. It's a different.
Motherfuckers need to laugh right now, yeah.
I've been getting a different response from people after shows versus, you know, it would be normally, good show, or thanks for coming through, or that was fun. And now it's, oh man, I needed that.
Mm-hmm.
This week, I needed that laugh. So I'm happy to give them, man. I'm happy to give them.
What's cracking? I'm in my Helix mattress watching an actress. Turn on the TV, it's Angela Bassett. What's cracking? Helix mattress, I like the fabric. It fits with my whole body. This mattress is the shit with grits. What? Helix, they fit it to your body. Helix mattress. Go to helixsleep.com. You answer a few questions and they'll run a 3D biomechanical model of your body through some algorithm, and you'll just get a super. Listen, man, I don't want to get all technical. You don't want to hear technical information from me. Helix mattress, they make it for your body. It's unique for your body. You have 100 nights to try it out, and if you don't love it, they'll pick it up for free and give you 100% refund, no questions asked. They do have to ask questions. Where do you live? What time can we pick up the mattress? But besides that, no questions asked. Go to helixsleep.com/rambler and get $50 off your order. helixsleep.com/rambler. helixsleep.com/rambler.
I was flying from Cincinnati to New York, and I missed my flight. Also, I don't know if y'all know, I'm the Michael Jordan of missing flights. I think, I mean, I don't know, I mean, I don't have it documented, but I've missed more flights than some of you have taken. It's a weird thing to brag about, but I just miss flights sometimes. I mean, I never missed a gig because of it, but I've missed a lot of flights. I always make the show, though.
Somehow you always make the show.
I always make the show.
There's been some real close calls.
I mean, I've canceled shows a couple days before, but it's not because of flight. It's not because of travel. But if I'm on, you know.
Tell them about what happened at when we were in Boston, where we played at the Wilbur.
Oh, at Wilbur. The Wilbur in Boston. I forget what happened. Did I miss the flight or no, something happened?
You took like a $1,000 Uber.
Well, no, I'm trying to remember why. I think I missed the flight and then, no, the flights were delayed and then a bunch of them were sold out from New York to Boston. And so then to make the gig, I took an Uber from NYC to Boston, a 4-hour Uber to the tune of about $1,000. But
wasn't there something happening where like you forgot your ID, then you had to go back, and then you went back to the airport or something? Like, wasn't there like a whole fiasco?
I don't remember. The details are unimportant. Yeah. They're not important. The main detail is that I took a 4-hour Uber from New York to Boston because it was in that moment the only way, the only option for me to make the gig on time. But I call American Airlines to change this flight to later from Cincinnati to New York on Saturday. And this is the thing. I've known this, but it can be so arbitrary sometimes with the answer that you get. So I call them and I say, I want to change this flight. And so I couldn't take this morning flight. I want to change to this 2 o'clock flight or whatever. And then they say, okay, cool. That'll be a $200 change fee. One thing, the change fees are pretty arbitrary. Where if they like the tone of your voice or some shit, or just like your phone vibe, they just might waive the change fee. I don't think it's always necessary for them to charge the change fee. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they have to do it as part of their revenue, but they don't always have to. Because I've had it where they're like, oh, no change fee, we'll just do it. It just depends on the person. Mm-hmm. So the $200 change fee, that wasn't the answer I wanted. So I hung up the phone and called right back, got a different person, and they said that to get on that flight, it would be $691. This is less than 2 minutes later. They said $691, which was, I had my phone pulled up on Kayak at the moment, and the flight was only $490 anyways.
Yeah.
That was $200 more, so I guess they were saying what the fare cost plus $200. So they said $690 to get on that flight. And I said, that's not the answer I want at all. And then I hang up, and I call 2 minutes later, and then a different person says, that flight is sold out. They just say it's sold out. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at the seat map on the American Airlines app. It's 5 seats on the flight.
So you think they were clocking your number every time you called?
I don't know what the fuck was going on.
I wouldn't put it past them.
I don't know what was going on, but they went from $200 change fee to $690 to sold out. And then it was $490 on the app, and I just booked it right there on my phone because I didn't have time to keep fucking around with them.
Yeah.
So American Airlines, I don't know what type of fucking rodeo bullshit you got going on there, but I talked to 3 people in 6 minutes and got 3 different answers and just booked it myself because I didn't have time. So yeah, man, the airlines, what is that?
I think a lot of it, like on the internet, I know for sure they like clock in like cookies and stuff like that, like your internet history or whatever. So like I think something about how like there's like an algorithm of how your behavior is with checking flights, that they mess with the numbers.
Yeah, they will.
Like, it's crooked as fuck.
They will go up on the flight. I've had that happen where they'll go up on the price if you look at it a few times. Yeah, man.
So they might have been clocking your number every time you called.
I don't know, but that's a different, changing a flight versus booking a flight.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Is a different thing. You know what I'm saying? If you're booking a flight straight up from scratch, then they, you know, mess with those prices. But if you're changing the flight that you already had, then that should be just one thing. So I don't know if these 3 people are at varying levels of skill at their jobs or something. And I don't know who the best at their job was, but that was just, I thought that was really funny and fucked up at the same time to me, man. But that's that. But I flew into New York, and New York City was on fire this weekend, man. Mm. It was an energy filled week. Had Dave Chappelle hosting SNL, and also UFC 205. Boycott UFC. Yeah, yeah. Dana White.
Oh, yeah, likes
Trump. Dana White voted. He's a Trump supporter, but man, I like watching people get punched in the face skillfully. So I'm just gonna have to, you know. Chill. I'm just have to watch it. I'm sorry. People get punched. It's entertaining. I don't know. I mean, it's a good product.
I was surprised to hear that Dana White is a Trump supporter. He doesn't come off like a Trump supporter.
What does that mean?
Trump supporters seem more like, conservative types. He doesn't have that vibe, is what I'm saying.
There's no...
They're probably homies.
He's known him for like 15 years.
Yeah, okay. 15,
16 years. Well, but I don't know if there's a sort... I mean, whatever TV tells you, it's not... I don't think there's an archetype. I mean, it's probably some of my friends that are Trump voters. Mm-hmm. And what do you... Is Trump the first person where you say people... I feel like he's the first where people say Trump supporters versus Trump...
Voters.
You hear supporters more. You didn't hear Barack. You didn't hear Obama supporters as much. I don't know. I might be overthinking, but I feel like I hear Trump supporters more than I've heard Bush supporters, or it was just more Bush voters. I don't know. Whatever. Anyways, man. So I was trying to figure out how to maximize this night in New York with Chappelle being at SNL and UFC 205 happening, but SNL is from 11:30 to 1 o'clock, and UFC, the main card, started at 10 o'clock, meaning if I went to the main card, I would not be able to catch SNL. If I went to SNL, I'll be missing McGregor against Alvarez. And I remembered that SNL has a dress rehearsal. They have a dress rehearsal at 8 p.m. And so I was on the list for the 11th day, but I set up and I just like, I'm gonna show up and just try to go to the dress rehearsal. And we get there and it was fun. It was kind of gave me anxiety being in the building because so much going on. They didn't have a place for us, or I was kind of in the hallway. It's just movement all around. Like, you have to, like, get to this side of the hall, and they're coming through with the Weekend Update desk, and it's just people running around at all times, and it kind of just had my heart beating fast. But it was cool to, you know, see some of my old coworkers and see the show, and you get to, you know, being in the hallway, you see people in their costume right before they go out there, and it was a fun time. A Tribe Called Quest was there. They performed. Busta Rhymes was there. I saw most of the show. Chappelle was great, and I seen the dress rehearsal monologue versus the real show one. He changed it up a lot, man. He tightened it up. He threw in some jokes that he definitely didn't do in the first. It was cool to see the changes in energy and how he brought it together. And it was also just cool to see him on television. Just doing sketch comedy, man. Yeah. Just doing sketch comedy. You remember, because I've seen him, you know, do stand up dozens of times over the past couple of years, but, you know, just seeing him now.
I thought it would have been so appropriate for him to do just like a full on Clayton Bixby skit.
A full one?
Yeah, it's like a full on one just to kind of address what's been going on.
Yeah.
I honestly thought he was going to do that.
Yeah,
but
well, they did a quick.
Yeah, they did a quick thing. But
that sketch was really cool with how they brought all the characters. Yeah, yeah. That was great nostalgia. But he's really good, man. Kate McKinnon is so good on it. Kate McKinnon is always just so locked in.
That makeout scene, the makeout skit.
Yeah, she's really good, and I've met her a handful of times. But I'm such a fan of hers. When she walked through the hallway, I said, "Hey, Kate McKinnon." I said her full name.
Yeah, that's when you know someone's a fan, because people do that with you all the time. Oh shit, Hannibal Buress.
You know what's you know what people do sometimes? That's weird. Like when people, this guy at TSA was I go through and I grab my bag and he's just kind of like, he's snapping like, yeah. Oh man.
Yeah,
and then I say, "It's okay, man. I'm not that famous. It's fine." He's like, "Oh man, I like your shit, but Netflix." And he's kind of, it's fine. But also, you know, I don't get mad at, but I also don't. I don't give it to them.
I know. I that happened in New Orleans when you left that guy hanging, but he was like creepily smiling at you and pointing. He was like looking at you, just kind of pointing, going like, "Yeah." Like he was waiting for you to. Say
really,
who you were.
What up, man? No, I don't really. I don't know. I have too much social anxiety already. So, you know, if I don't have to have the interaction, I will try to avoid. Yeah. Like, if somebody's like, is it you? But this is what this dude did. He didn't, I was like, it's fine, man. I don't care. I'm not, he was like, I'm not offended that you don't know my name. And then this is what people do sometimes. He said, but he said, I bet I'm the only person here that recognized you. And I'm like, well, and then that puts me in a spot where either I can say, "Yeah, man, cool," or I could tell the truth with, like, "No, the other guy did," like somebody,
yeah,
it was like, he was like the third person that had spoken to me in the past couple minutes. Be like, "I bet you I'm the only one here," or this is what people will do. Sometimes I'll just be chilling at a bar or something, and then, and I'm just casually having a good time, and then somebody will walk up, "What's up, man?" And then, "Hey, how's it going?" And then they'll say, "Dude, why is nobody here freaking out, man? Why is nobody freaking? This place should be going crazy right now." And I'm like, this is ideal. That is very chill. I don't know if you know what I want from I don't know if you know what I want from life. But it's not.
Sometimes though, you want it to work out in your favor. Like the other day when we're leaving the hotel, you saw that beautiful, beautiful woman.
It actually made it more fun that
that she didn't know
it. That she didn't. She didn't. It was just.
Oh man, that was so funny.
There was this girl. Was that leaving Kansas City?
Yeah, we were leaving the hotel.
Oh yeah,
there was like some kind of.
It was a conference.
Yeah, and there was a bunch of beautiful professional women there. But
yeah, this woman, she was beautiful. She was tall. She might have been, I don't know.
So like, she was ethnic, like black ethnic.
Like maybe she was. Yeah, she seemed like she might have been African.
Yeah.
And she was talking with her coworkers. It was like 10 in the morning, and I was just, I knew I had to say. I felt like I had to say something and express. I wanted to. Engage in conversation with her, but we were getting in the car and they were about to get in the car, and so I just said, "Hey, want to start a life together?"
The best Hail Mary holler I've ever seen.
"Want to start a life together?" But that's, you can't go that hard. Like, you can't.
Well, it was funny because you were just in a daze by her beauty. You were like, and time was ticking, and you're like, "I got to do this," and just. You went for it, man. I gave you props for it because that was very, very ballsy. That might have been one of the ballsiest things I've ever seen you do.
Damn, man. I mean, I just went for it. I just went for it.
You said you want to start a life
together.
You want
to start a life together. I didn't. But I didn't really want to start a life with her.
But it's just a very ballsy opener.
Yeah.
It's just, you went all in, man.
Yeah.
Get seats. Call me a geek, but I got all my seats. Seat geek, I rap to the beat, and I go in the seat, and it's sticky by my feet. Seat geek. I'm riding on the beat. Seat geek, not living in the street. Seat geek. Ha, he, he. In the seat, and I'm cool, not the heat. Seat geek. What? Got my seats off Seat Geek. Look at the app. He, he. That's not how I laugh. Beep, beep, beep. But if it's a SeatGeek, to get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app. Go to settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter promo code RAMBLER. That's RAMBLER. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you make your first purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code RAMBLER. RAMBLER. Today! Oh, blue apron! It's not a white apron, it's not a red apron, it's not a purple apron, it's not a gray apron, it's not a yellow apron, it's blue apron. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with free portion ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. So if you single but want to eat great, if you a runaway child or a football player, anybody can eat food. It's food for anybody. Less than $10 a meal. That's a great deal. I'm rapping again on accident. My laugh is so dope. Listen, Blue Apron links, they got great ingredients. It's the highest quality of the farmers. There's no crazy Wally, Coyote, Elmer Fudd farmers. Was Elmer Fudd a farmer? Blue Apron uses good farmers. Not no Elmer Fudd type farmers. Anyways, top-notch food. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaska salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. Some of the meals available in November include pan-seared chicken with roasted fall vegetables and butter caper sauce, spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir fry with sweet potato noodles, lemongrass roasted pork with Romanesco cauliflower and coconut rice. Check out this week's menu and you get your first three meals free with free shipping. Three free meals by going to blueapron.com/Rambler. You'll still love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Rambler. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Rambler.
Yeah, SNL was fun. It was a good time. Headed over to UFC. UFC had some good seats thanks to everybody over at WME IMG for the nice seats. We were sitting next to Gordon Ramsay. Me and my friend Kay. Let me just be, you know. We had a good time. Gordon Ramsay there. Ran into Zac Efron. This guy took a picture of us three. It was me, Zac Efron, and Gordon Ramsay. And then when they posted it online, they said huge names at UFC 205. Zac Efron and Gordon Ramsay, and I'm just in the picture, and they and they didn't mention me. And I just posted it up and said no respect. But that was, I made it more.
It was funny because he caught all that flack for it because I saw that.
Yeah, people just took it really. I was just joking. Also, I probably wouldn't even if he had mentioned me, I probably wouldn't have posted the picture because then it just. But it's just funnier to play, you know, the underdog shit. But that was pretty. But it was first UFC in Madison Square Garden, and it was crazy, man. It was great.
That energy must have been insane.
Energy was great. We were front row, dog. Like yeah. We were front row, like, right where. They, you know, the fighters, you know, get cleaned up and shit, and right before they go,
were you close enough to get blood splattered on you?
No, I didn't get any blood. It's not that. There's a bit of a distance.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, you know what's so crazy about UFC fighters? Well, just MMA, box, whoever, they get kicked in the face. You never hear them just say, "Ow." They never go, "Ow."
Ouch.
God damn. Like,
yo, that hurts, son.
Damn it, man. Like, you never, occasionally if they break their shit, they might, but it's like a hard,
ow,
professional punch, a punch from somebody with years and years of training, and they punched you clean in your shit, and you just take it without even going, oh, man.
But you hear like grunts, right? Like, ugh.
I guess so. I'm not right there in the ring, but it was a fun event, man. It was a fun event. Madonna was there.
What?
Yeah. Hugh Jackman was in the building. Swiss Beats was there. Swiss Beats' son is a good producer.
Yeah.
He made a beat on that.
Levitate.
The Kendrick, Untitled Unmastered. Anyways, the McGregor fight was crazy because he beat the shit out of dude.
McGregor, the way he masterminded that guy.
He just beat him up.
The way he picked him apart. Like he fought that guy like he took a time machine and he's fought him before and fought him a bunch of times and then came back and just fixed all his mistakes. Like he was flawless. It was perfect. He put on a beautiful performance.
He beat the shit out of dude.
It was amazing.
It was crazy. Did dude even get any shots off on McGregor?
No.
I was like, that dude didn't even look like a professional fighter.
He was just dancing around him. Like, it's not even, I don't even look at it as like he beat his ass. I look at it more as like he was just toying with him. Like, he's like, you can't touch me. I'm going to just plug you left and right, do my thing, dance around. It's a done deal. Like,
I was trying to figure out why.
Flawless.
The guy looked so bad. My theory is that it was pretty late. It was about 1:15, 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
He was sleepy, man.
I don't think so. I just think McGregor's
I think he was sleepy. And you know, McGregor, he's Irish. So he was like on. it was like 6:30 in the morning where his time. So McGregor, you know, he probably get up early to train. Yeah. So it's 1:30. So he 5 hours ahead. And so he's like on his morning mode. That's probably when he works out. Yeah. And so he's fresh as hell. And this Eddie dude is usually sleep around 1:30. And so he's sleepy, kind of fresh, kind of whooped that sleepy motherfucker's ass, man. That's my theory. I'm no Joe Rogan.
That's a very flawed theory.
Jim Norton. I'm no MMA expert. I think.
So your theory is that they both flew in the day before the flight?
No.
And they didn't get time to adjust to the time?
Eddie Alvarez is from Philly.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
I think he's from Philly. So he is 1:30 for him. Uh-huh. He was sleepy, man. Okay. I think he was sleepy. I think Conor probably.
So you're saying Conor has like a permanent Irish clock inside of him?
Yeah.
Irish time clock.
Either that or Conor, I think Conor trained. I think Conor had a bunch of sparring and training fights at 1:30 at night so he could feel comfortable at that time fighting.
Well, that's just good strategy.
That's a great strategy. And shout out to Conor and his team for making those great
decisions. Good time management.
Great time management. Conor McGregor. Because if you're going to fight, that's late to be fighting, man.
Yeah, man.
That's an unnatural situation.
Actually, that's the time usually most fights break out is about that time.
That is the time. But to professionally fight,
yeah.
It was weird leaving the building. Leaving Madison Square Garden at 2 in the morning felt very foreign and weird. What was funny, we were a couple seats away from Eddie Alvarez's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just screaming. Like, she right before the fight started. Cause she was, at the end of the row. So right before the fight started, we were sort of in the middle, and so she went past us to the left.
Yeah.
Jim Norton was sitting a couple seats away, and she went by that. And when Eddie got announced, she just was yelling like, "Eddie, Eddie, Eddie!" Just screaming. And then during the fight, she's just yelling, "Eddie!" Just screaming his name. And I'm like, Does this motivate him or help him? Because, I mean, why are you just screaming? It was fascinating just to be next to a fighter's wife while they getting their ass whooped. It was interesting, man. It was, she just kept on screaming. I mean, you a fighter's wife, you ain't got no strategy or no shit.
Maybe that's the real reason he lost. Because
she was screaming?
Yeah.
And so,
too distracted.
And so as soon as he got knocked out, she hops over the shit to try to run into the ring. And then security's tight as fuck. So security is right on it, but it's one bigger dude that knows that she's his wife. And so this is his wife. And then the other security dudes are trying to get her out of there. And then, so I guess they either let her in and then you know, I got distracted because then they were doing, you know, the post-fight analysis, and Conor was doing his interview and all that and asking for his second
belt. That shit was hilarious.
Yeah. Where's my belt?
Where's my second belt?
Where's my second belt at? Where's my belt?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
So that was all happening. And I don't know what was happening with her, but then the police walked her out of there at some point. Yeah, so she got escorted out.
It's traumatic. So, you watched your lover
get
his ass handed to him.
Fighting is tough. That family took two L's. Also, Eddie Alvarez, I don't want any problems. I know that he was the champ.
I know.
And he made...
The way he took his ass apart, and on top of that, the guy was the champ.
That was the champ.
Like, there is no... Like, he... Conor McGregor is...
He was sleepy, man. That's how else... What other reason does a champion
what about end up the looking
like that? He was sleepy.
What about the theory that Conor McGregor is just fucking awesome?
And well-rested.
No, I'm not going to give you this one, Hannibal. I'm not going to give you this one. I will not let this one go.
He was well-rested. Good for Conor for preparing and resting, man. That was, he had them hands. His hands were just, you know. Eddie, man, next time, you got to get more sleep, dog. You got to get more sleep. And that's my advice to you, Eddie. Also, you don't listen to this. Anyways. Yeah, man. So, the fights were fun. It was I bet on Conor also.
Yeah.
It was nice. Conor had surprisingly low odds for how he whooped his ass.
Yeah.
It was only -170 for Conor.
I always bet on Conor.
Thank you. Also, yeah, thank you, Conor, for helping my finances for the week. It was great. So then we headed to the SNL after party from there. Went into the after party. It was at the Cutting Room in New York. And it was great, man. Chappelle was, you know, it was, oh, Lenny Kravitz came through, played the drums. It was a crazy event, man. It went to like 5:30 in the morning.
I just want to thank you for inviting me to all this, Hannibal.
Listen, man. I was on a date, man.
It's all good, man. I ain't mad at you, man. Do your thing.
I didn't invite you because it would make for a better dynamic for the podcast.
I'm just listening to you talking about how awesome your night is. Like, yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's dope.
Yeah, it just makes it, you know, makes for a better podcast, man. Can't, you know, it's for balance. It's like,
I can't add those needed subtle details, though. Like, what about, and he had a glass of lemonade in his hand, killing it.
Yeah.
And what about that one part when...
Listen, man, this is not the energy that you're passing along right now is not good energy, man. It's not good energy. Anyways, man, yeah, the party was crazy. Chappelle sung karaoke. He sung Creep. Covers is the way to go, man. Covers is the way to go. Next time, I'm excited to do the next Styx Jam. I want to do another one just so I could do a cover.
Which cover would you do?
I would do maybe Benny and the Jets.
Okay.
I would do Stronger by Kanye. I would do What More Can I Say by Jay-Z.
Okay.
That's a good, with the live band. That's a live band song right there.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
It's Benny and the Jets.
Benny and the Jets.
Oh man, maybe I just do a jam session too. But I don't want to just put on an event just so I could do karaoke once.
Let's just go do some karaoke, bro. I know a spot in Koreatown.
I don't want to do, because when you do karaoke at these places, Especially if you do a rap song, if you do karaoke at a karaoke night, the beats are all weird. It's something with the beats where they sound all,
yeah,
just, you know, like the, it's just the, it sound like the kids bop version of the beats.
I'm not really into rap karaoke. I feel like karaoke is more for like singing your ass off. Like this is a song you really feel, and you're just like, walk on by. Walk on by. You don't like, you just go in.
Yeah.
Sorry, my voice sucks right now.
Have you done hip hop karaoke before?
Yeah. I don't like it. It just feels like
with the crowd. But hip hop karaoke, I've done it with, if the crowd is in, it's when the crowd is into it. I've seen this trap karaoke they have, and it's just a crazy energy, man.
Trap karaoke
where they just, yeah, it's trap.
Oh, okay, I can see that. I can see like, but like I would do something like Travis Scott. Because his shit is like sing-songy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh no, I can't fuck with y'all. You could do a lot of...
He does his auto-tune live and shit.
I love
he
it.
He have live auto-tune.
That Travis Scott album, I gotta tell you. Because usually when a rapper is like trappy like he is, there'll be like a couple of cuts. And I'm like, okay, those are the hits. I'm gonna fuck with those and whatever. Mm-hmm. But that album... I've been listening to the album front to back, and I like it. Like
it's a good album.
It's artfully done too, though.
Good transitions.
Yeah,
it has good transitions. Like right before is that one song, and it's like, I want you to pick up the phone for me.
Yeah,
and then it goes into baby, yeah. Pick up the phone, baby.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a great transition.
It's an amazing album. It's my favorite album so far of 2016, hands
really?
Down. Yeah, hands down.
My favorite album, I think, is the No Worries, the Anderson .Paak album. Yes, Lord, let's get it. Mm-hmm. And all of this is, I'm winning. Yeah.
That's your favorite album, like front to back album for 2016?
Yes, Lord. Oh, and the thought of this is, I'm winning. Ooh, ooh. Yes, Lord.
I was the first one to tell you about Anderson .Paak. Remember?
When?
We were on our way to go see Crucial Conflict at 8 Ball MJG, and I threw it on. You're like, yeah, it's smooth.
Yeah, man. He makes some good shit, man. And then live, that motherfucker's good, man.
Yeah. I haven't seen him live yet, but I heard, yeah, he puts on.
He be
on
drumming and singing at the same time.
Yeah, I saw
and not even bullshit drumming, real, actual.
Yeah. He's a talented
drumming,
yeah.
Killing it.
He's a talented musician. He can play.
Yes, Lord. Yeah, I'm living. Yeah, in a thousand cents percentages. Yeah. All right, man. I think that's it, man.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Yeah, man. Thanks a lot for listening, you guys. I'm Hannibal Burris. It's Tony Trim. As far as dates, come see me. If you're in Phoenix, I'll be at Stand Up Live November 23rd. Then after that, I'm fucking out of the game for a little bit. Psych, I go to Australia the next week. I'll be...
Psych.
Psych. I go to Australia. I'll be in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne. Where else? Perth? I think Perth is
it. Yeah, Perth is one of them.
Perth, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane. And just check it out. HannibalBurris.com/tour. I did an episode of Chris Gethard's podcast, Beautiful Anonymous. Check that out. I'm way quieter on there. I was trying to match Chris's chill and empathetic tone, you know?
Well, I saw something announced on Twitter today about some Fly Low project.
Yeah, I don't know when that comes out. Yeah, I did voiceover for Flying Lotus's new movie, Kuso. It was weird, man. It's some weird visuals. I don't know how he did that or what. It was it's pretty disturbing. But it was kind of disturbing, but it was some funny stuff. And it was, you know, always good to collab with Fly Low again. But yeah, y'all, thanks for listening. Subscribe, review, and all that. Share. Peace out. Good night.
All right. Skin Connors, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for your money, Skin Connors, and thank you for making a comfortable, smooth product for people to feel like they're having skin-on-skin contact. Skin Condoms, made from some smooth stuff. If you want to get smoothed up, grab a skin condom and pin it on, you know what, getting up all in it, about to get that spinach. Skin Condoms, you know I'm about to get all in it, and I'm rapping, get three skin condoms. Yeah, I don't want no problems. Yeah. Use code RAMBLER from today's show to receive free shipping on all skin products at buycondoms.online. That's code RAMBLER at buycondoms.online.
In 1962, a mysterious strangler committed the first of 13 random murders, shocking Boston and the world.
Who were these women, and why would anyone want to kill them?
It was the largest manhunt in the city's history.
What is Mary Sullivan's picture doing on the front page of the paper with the Boston Strangler?
50 years later, the cases remain open. Stranglers, the new crime series from Earwolf. Subscribe now in iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.